All right, everybody, here's the deal. With all of our wildly unprofessional antics, it's easy to forget that Sean, Laurel, and I actually have day jobs at Wisconsin Public Radio, but we do. And it's one of those times a year when WPR is asking listeners to support the programming that they love, including maybe a certain state-focused politics podcast. So if you're hearing this and feel like making a contribution to support the work we do, all you have to do is take a quick minute to go to WPR.org/donate. Thanks.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr.
Podcast.
Happy birthday to you.
Yep, that's right. You know what that means. It's somebody's birthday. Yep, it's our birthday. The
Yay.
Podcast is 2 years old. Woo-hoo. We're getting up there. We are getting older. And you know what else is kind of getting older? This election cycle.
That is true. And as this election cycle has gotten older, we've gotten another poll from Marquette University, and it had some good news for Democrats.
And speaking of aging, the Affordable Care Act is an issue that's gone through its umpteenth election cycle at this point. But kind of weirdly enough, it's Republicans and not Democrats who seem to be on the defensive here.
Yeah, and we'll even work this week's State of Education address into this stupid birthday change theme.
All right. Sounds like a podcast to me.
Can't wait to see how we do that.
Stay tuned.
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's talk about our birthday and getting older and some other stuff. All right, two-year-old buddies, we are getting into our terrible twos, and that's why this podcast is just going downhill from the start. But let's get to it. What are we going to talk about first?
So many options. What are we going to do? Should we do the Marquette poll first? It happened first in the week.
Let's talk about the Marquette poll.
All right. I thought you were going to be like, no, let's talk about pre-existing conditions.
let's do something else.
We are in our terrible twos, so we should have some conflict, some like tantrums and stuff.
Yeah. I'm gonna fling some food at you guys. Oh, man. Okay, Marquette poll.
Marquette poll.
We try not to talk about every poll because then you fall trapped to the same, you know, horse race issues that plagues all of journalism. But man, it's a couple of months before election, and I think there's a lot of fodder for discussion in this one.
Yeah, so this was a particularly interesting poll because it showed kind of a big change, particularly in the U.S. Senate race. So the last Marquette poll that we had was a 2-point lead for Senator Tammy Baldwin. And this poll, she has opened that up to an 11-point lead. So
over
Republican State Senator Leah Vukmir.
So let's put in the usual, grain of salt.
Right. Caveats. Should we just cue the tape of our
A poll is a snapshot in time. In 2016, Marquette at this time had Russ Feingold beating Ron Johnson. Remember the last poll before the 2016 election had Hillary Clinton beating Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So
polls are sometimes wrong.
Polls are is a snapshot in time. Okay.
But I think what's interesting here as this election cycle gets older is that this poll is showing something pretty wildly different than the last poll.
Yeah. So now that we've gotten those out of the way, I think there was a lot in there that I think Democrats look at with some happiness and Republicans have to think we got to right this ship because, you know, before Scott Walker's previous elections, his recall election in 2012, and his re-election in 2014, he's always managed to get that approve-disapprove kind of roughly 50-50. You know, the number of people who approve of him versus the number of people who disapprove. You look back at 2012, and he had pretty good numbers before that election. They were pretty even in 2014. It's going the wrong direction for Scott Walker right now. In the Marquette September 2018 poll, 44% approve of Scott Walker's handling of his job, 50% disapprove.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, when you step back and think about it, what has changed in the state of Wisconsin and, you know, what the job that Walker is doing from the August poll when his numbers were a net positive? Not a whole lot. You know, the budget is what it was, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The unemployment rate is still historically low. So these are like the big feathers in Scott Walker's cap. I don't know why he does this. Big feathers in his cap, but it's his thing.
I've actually never, I don't think I've seen him wear a hat. So that's patently false.
I know I've seen him wear a hat. But
his Bitmoji often wears a hat.
True. So anyway, so what's changed? You know, not a whole lot in terms of like what is happening in state government.
Right.
But that's a pretty big shift in like how people think about Scott Walker.
So does that mean that like the Democratic opposition messaging in this election cycle is resonating with some people potentially?
I think it could. I mean, you look at it, party enthusiasm. In this poll also,
mm-hmm.
Party enthusiasm, Democratic enthusiasm was up pretty considerably from August to September. Trump's numbers also, to see his approval go from basically flat for a while to start to tick down,
mm-hmm.
was interesting.
Just so we have all the numbers in here real quick. So we have the Senate numbers. We have some approval, disapproval numbers. What's the Walker-Tony Evers race looking like in this most recent poll?
Yeah, so it was Evers by, was it, five?
By five, yeah. So he was at 49 and Walker at 44. That's an uptick for Evers. The last poll in August was 46-46.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in a dead heat.
So, again, and that's within the margin of error.
Mm-hmm, right. And
but,
it's still...
But you're seeing a little trend. Okay, you've got a mm-hmm. few polls on them now where... Evers starts out behind Walker, then he's tied. Mm-hmm. Now he's up by five.
Because July he was down two. Evers was down two. August he was even. And then now September he's up by five. So
What you're seeing also is where are independents in this race? And mm-hmm. they are moving steadily toward Democrats. And all this is coming at a time when the ad blitz against Tony Evers is pretty intense. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's all hands on deck for Republicans. You've got Americans for Prosperity, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the Walker campaign. All these Republican interests are attacking Tony Evers. And there have been attack ads against Governor Walker, too.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's really quite a marked attack on Tony Evers, who is less known to people. And mm-hmm. to see these numbers here, it gives you a sense that if Walker's approval is going down at a time when the state is basically what it was, if his poll numbers against Evers are going down at a time when, you know, Evers is getting a lot of ads, a lot of dirt thrown at him,
mm-hmm.
those are signs that the electorate is shifting to the left potentially. I think you just look kind of bit by bit through this issues. It just felt like mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about that real quick, some issues? Of the issue numbers?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you think about, like, what's one issue that we've talked a lot about? Roads, road funding. And
I don't remember talking about that at all.
Let's do a...
John has
Let's
selective...
Let's do a podcast where we drive around in a vehicle and talk about road funding. Oh, wait.
We did that.
Anyway,
I'm roads. So Marquette asked people, what's the condition of roads near you? They asked the same question back in July, and the abbreviated version of the finding is that the condition of roads, people's perception of the condition of roads, basically dipped down 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that a potentially positive Democratic issue?
Well, the thing that Charles Franklin floated out there is that you could see this could be a result of the advertising that's out there right now. Because what are Democrats saying? The Scott Walker has mishandled our roads.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a Democratic voter out there who is enthused, which would be a lot of people in this poll, and they're seeing these ads talk about how Walker has mismanaged the roads, maybe you start thinking about your roads differently. Like, you know what? Yeah, they are bad.
Right.
And that was the theory that was floated out there and seems plausible. Yeah. The roads haven't gotten 5% worse in 2 months.
Well, and they also, Charles Franklin also mentioned that there are those banners that are flying over Lambeau Field and Camp Randall on football days that are the Scott Hole banners.
Yes.
You know, so those are...
those are put together by what are a group that's
the operating
the
engineers.
Road builders.
Yeah,
group.
The operating engineers, a union that endorsed Walker in his first run for governor.
And they've had billboards and
has
I mean,
soured on him a bit because
definitely
of all the road funding stuff.
Yeah. Well, and then there were a couple other issues that aren't trending well for the governor in terms of like high-profile things that are associated with him. We've consistently gotten the whole Foxconn, how has the Foxconn project...
Yeah.
Or like, how will the Foxconn project affect the community around you? And it's pretty consistent that people who live outside of southeastern Wisconsin don't believe that Foxconn is going to benefit them or businesses around them.
Yeah. Now, the Foxconn, that number that you're talking about, will it benefit businesses near me? That has gotten...
Didn't it actually tick up slightly
went up
in this poll?
Very slightly, slightly. Very slightly. But think about that. Think about that compared to the amount of... capital that the governor has put into that issue. He has flown all over the state. He's done events talking about like the new Foxconn Center in Green Bay or Eau Claire, or, you know, saying, making a big push. That
he's had
Foxconn,
ads on it, TV
he's had ads.
Ads
that, and region specific ads to say, hey, look, Foxconn is helping you. So he has invested time and money on this issue. It's moving the numbers slightly, potentially.
But they're still not positive numbers for him.
Not even close. And it's just not a big return on investment there.
Mm-hmm. And the other issue I'm going to mention, we're just going to do this whole podcast on the poll.
Yeah, we said we wouldn't do that. But
this is our, it's our Achilles heel.
It is.
But there was interesting stuff. There really was. So the other thing that I wanted to mention was the poll on raising raising taxes to pay for schools. And there was a question about, like, would you rather have more money put into schools or have lower taxes? And people, the majority of people said, I'd rather have higher taxes and better funded schools than lower taxes.
See, now you're just foreshadowing our last segment.
So there, yeah.
Or that could
that's,
be our
yeah,
middle segment.
It's a...
There's no rules.
Oh, wow. Let's do our next segment.
All right,
oh,
let's do it.
Okay.
State of education.
Yeah. That does it. It leads in well. It's a good transition.
I see what you guys did there. That was just
so
all timed
tricky,
so perfectly.
Yeah.
We're a high-functioning two-year-old, I gotta say.
we're toddling and
look at
like
us. We're walking.
Eating applesauce.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, that sounds messy.
I ate plum baby food. That was good. Plum apricot, healthy
ooh,
hippie baby food.
Yum.
Anyway, so state of education address. Tony Evers, what happened?
Well,
just gonna eat my baby food while you guys talk.
In addition to being a Democratic candidate for governor, Tony Evers is the state superintendent of public instruction, and as part of that job, he does this ceremonial address every year where he talks about the state of education.
It's a pretty sweet deal for a gubernatorial candidate. The fact that he gets like a big annual address in the state capitol with like this big audience. He gets this platform that not a lot of other candidates
except
have.
For the other candidate who's the governor who
well,
has
yeah,
the state
but
of the
like,
state address.
But another Democrat that say I don't know, say Malin Mitchell won the Democratic nomination. He wouldn't have had the opportunity to give this huge speech, organized speech in the capitol.
Maybe he could just make it up, though. Be like, we call it the real state of the state.
There you go. That's
yeah,
true. I'm just saying. It's a sweet deal. That's all.
It's all in your conviction, man. Like, no. This is a speech, and you have to cover it. Okay, so Tony Evers does these speeches every year. And in years like this, he would be talking about his next budget proposal, right?
Which came out on Monday.
So, Laurel, you covered this.
I did.
What's in that budget? What do you talk about?
So the budget is a $1.4 billion budget. It is a 10% increase over the last DPI budget that he presented. And there were shades of similarity between this speech and the speech that he gave last year. Because last year he talked about like all the referenda that have passed across the state, people raising their own property taxes to put more money into schools. And he said, we need to invest in public education in Wisconsin. But this year he sort of came at it like Spinal Tap turned to 11, like this has to change. I think he came at it as a candidate, I think, and sort of said, like, Wisconsin's priorities are out of whack. We have to invest more in schools. I have presented a budget that has a sizable increase, and the tides are turning. I think he ended the speech with, like, change is in the air.
See, is that how we're going to work our, like, getting older change metaphor into it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Change is in the air.
We said we would do it.
So he gives this address. It's like 15 minutes. And he's done this every year that I've covered it anyway, where he goes and he does an avail with reporters after to answer questions. And
an avail.
An avail, as they call it in the biz.
Short for availability.
Means he's available to answer questions from reporters. So we go in there, and I think he got questions, obviously, like, as a candidate, not necessarily as the superintendent of schools. So they said, you know, how would you pay for this $1.4 billion schools budget? That's not a question he would normally get, right? That's, like, not really his, it's not exactly his problem. Like, if you present it.
It's his problem when he wants to be governor, right?
Right. When he's school superintendent, it's not exactly his problem.
Yeah, he always had to lay out a plausible thing, but he's seeking a big increase this year. And he would be the guy to make it happen, proving
his own budget, sort of.
Right.
I mean, if he was governor, there would be a new head of DPI, but in theory, at least.
Do you think he would read the budget request and be like,
this Evers guy.
Common sense.
Yeah, so he had to answer the question of, you know, how do you fund this increase? And somebody asked him, you know, how do you fund this increase without raising taxes? Aren't you basically saying you're going to raise taxes? And he said, no, I think we can fund this 10% increase without raising taxes. We just need to kind of rearrange the budget a little bit, maybe make some cuts in some other programs. He mentioned in particular the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit that we've talked about before, maybe rolling that back a little bit, funding some other things, not quite as much, so the education budget can be increased. He also did say, you know, I'm not opposed to income tax increases, especially for high income earners in Wisconsin. And he's not opposed to the gas tax, increasing the gas tax, rather. So it was a little bit of a different avail, as we say, for the DPI.
To me, that was kind of the interesting thing, was that he did, in fact, say, I would consider raising taxes under certain circumstances, whereas in past, you know, Sean was talking about this, in past instances, even Democratic candidates have gone the line of, you know, no new taxes.
That was really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Tony Evers knows if you come out and say, like, I'm not going to say no to raising income taxes, that is, in the world of campaigns, that's going to be treated like a yes. And it's like a boilerplate Republican issue. Tony Evers will raise your taxes. He even said so right there.
Right.
For him to come out and say that, I just haven't heard that really from a Democrat running for statewide office in a long time. I mean, I was thinking back about, like, the campaign. I did not cover this, but Jim Doyle's 2002 campaign for governor. He made the calculation in that race that if I'm going to win this race in this midterm election environment, I'm going to run as a no new taxes governor. He kind of famously pounded that home, like, I will not raise taxes. This is not the Jim Doyle message. That's Tody Evers saying, well, like, I might raise taxes.
He must have polling on this. And I mean, you know, he might have private polling on it, but we have available polling. We have the Marquette polling that says this, at least just for education issues, people are okay with raising taxes. They're okay with paying higher taxes for certain things.
Yeah. So that to me is, like, if you're looking for, like, long-term cyclical changes, you know, how is an issue aged? I mean, these things cycle back around. In a few years, people might view the tax school issue differently. But for Evers to be out there saying, yeah, maybe, that's a big deal.
Is it time for our third segment here, guys?
Yeah.
How's that for a segue?
Good one, man. Wow.
And that would be the Affordable Care Act, specifically pre-existing conditions and whether or not there should be coverage for people with pre-existing conditions and how Republicans are kind of on the defensive about that?
Sure seems like it. What you're seeing nationally and in Wisconsin is that Democrats are mentioning the Affordable Care Act more in their ads for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every election cycle, it's been this issue that Republicans pound Democrats on. And suddenly Democrats are saying, hey, this is working for us. Tammy Baldwin's whole campaign right now is like about the Affordable Care Act, mm-hmm. preserving it.
But it's like specifically maybe not specifically exclusively pre-existing conditions, but I feel like it's like my perception is it's 95% pre-existing conditions. It's not like they're talking about like other major parts of the Affordable
Agreed.
Care Act.
Yeah, totally.
But
yeah.
I mean, that's a part of the law that, you know, people on all sides of the spectrum seem to kind of like, or at least voters
right.
who need health care. That's a very popular issue.
And I think it became like a more Republican issue after there was this kind of changing of the tide and popular opinion. There's been this shift where Republicans kind of pulled this part out of the Affordable Care Act and said, yeah, we do think this is a good idea. We hadn't been for it previously. We had had other solutions like high-risk pools and things like that. But now this is something that we support because this isn't an incredibly new issue. The governor started talking about pre-existing conditions in January, right? He talked about it in his State of the State address, I think.
He did. This, to me, is how you know that the public has really come around on this issue, mm-hmm. that it's such a powerful political bludgeon for Democrats, is that Republicans are saying we have to have a plan for how we're going to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Assembly Republicans did is they took this bill that Democrats were going to do or did a polling motion on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the thing where you try
We did a podcast on this.
We've done podcasts on polling motions.
On the scale of most dramatic things that can happen on well, I don't know. Sometimes polling motions aren't dramatic.
No,
this one was.
Sometimes they're horrible. But
yeah.
Anyway, Republicans basically passed a bill, we'll say, that would say that in state law, there are protections for people with pre-existing conditions. That is, if you have a pre-existing condition, an insurance company can't use that as a reason for not insuring you.
Mm-hmm.
That passed the Assembly, did not get a vote in the Senate. Governor Walker has said, yeah, I support that bill.
Mm-hmm.
And if the federal protections ever went away, I'd call a special session and we pass that bill.
Mm-hmm. The counter argument to that Democrats are sort of lobbing back is like, well, the state is currently involved in a lawsuit that challenges the entire Affordable Care Act.
It's not that they're just involved.
They're one
Governor
of the
Walker authorized this lawsuit.
Right.
And if he supports pre-existing conditions, Tony Evers says in his counter-ad,
mm-hmm.
Governor, if you support protecting people with pre-existing conditions, why don't you drop that lawsuit?
Mm-hmm.
And Walker says, you know, I'm not going to do that because the rest of Obamacare is a mess.
Right. Exactly. It's not like the lawsuit is just targeting pre-existing conditions. It's targeting the entirety of the Affordable Care Act.
So here's the thing with that state bill. The experts that I talked to about this, the healthcare experts about this, said it's not remotely the same as the Affordable Care Act's protections for pre-existing conditions. That if a federal Affordable Care Act went away, then sure, you could pass the state bill that says insurance companies, you have to insure people with pre-existing conditions. But that bill doesn't say anything about what type of policy these insurance companies have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
could be a very expensive policy that covers pre-existing conditions.
It could be a kind of policy that says, yeah, we'll cover you for a couple office visits a year. But it doesn't say anything about, yeah, we'll cover chemo. It also doesn't say anything about lifetime limits for insurance, which was a big deal pre-ACA. So before then, say a cancer patient could be insured, but then hit like a lifetime limit of $1 million in coverage because treating cancer is expensive. That could happen under this state bill. If the ACA went away and there was just this state bill that said that stuff about pre-existing conditions,
mm-hmm.
there could still be lifetime limits and a cancer patient could run out of coverage. So they are different. They are different bills. But, you know, politically speaking, I think you see Republicans looking for an answer to this suddenly very hot election year issue for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I love about state politics. The podcast keeps getting older, but they stay the same age. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Just a quick mention that John likes to do the Matthew McConaughey references in the podcast. For those of you who haven't seen Dazed and Confused.
Come on, guys. I'm trying to do an outro here.
I just don't want like that one to go unnoticed. All right, all right, all right. L-I-V-I-N.
J-K-L. Let's just keep living.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Look, if a 2-year-old can provide you with thoughtful, balanced, highly, highly entertaining state political analysis, then the least you can do is toddle on over to iTunes to subscribe to get new episodes of it almost every single week. You can also find the show on Google and Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And all of our past episodes are available anytime at WPR.org/politics. Go, 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 go.